Blog Talk Radio.
Run your offense, play good defense, but don't sell out to
make any huge mistakes or anything like that, risk getting injured. I mean, you play hard, but you play smart. And I thought that's what they did in the second half. They gave up 40 points, but I thought the last 10 minutes of the game was, you know, just kind of playing out the strategy. It was almost like practice. So really impressive the way they came out. Obviously, Yogi Ferrell was the focal point of the, you know, things to be impressed about. He really came out on fire, came out pushing the tempo, came out, you know, really attacking. And if he's that guy the rest of the tournament, I realize, again, like we said, competition was down in this game. But if he plays with that mentality throughout the tournament, it adds a whole extra dimension to what IU can bring. And if he's finishing at the rim and distributing that way and knocking down shots, that's just going to make IU a whole lot more dangerous.
Okay, so let me just play devil's advocate here for a second. I want to get your thoughts on this, because this is something I was thinking about right there where you were talking. You know, we've talked a lot on the show about, you know, in some of Indiana's worst performances, Yogi has ended up taking a lot of shots. And of course, we've talked about, you know, Will Sheehy, you know, taking too many shots sometimes. And I thought even some of his shots today, I mean, he had a really good game, 15 points. He was, you know, 50% from the field. But, you know, I thought we saw some of his irrational confidence shots today, you know, off one pass, you know, maybe not working the ball around. So you look at the box score, and it really jumps out that, you know, Will took 14 shots, Yogi took 12. No one on the team took more than 7. You know, and this was a game where Victor and Cody didn't have to be All-Americans for Indiana to win it. You know, we probably could have played the game without those two guys and still end up winning this game. You know, and you look at that, so you didn't get their normal production from them. So let me ask you this, Ryan, and just get your thoughts on it. Could it all be a negative in any way that, you know, you have a guy like Yogi who does such a good job offensively, Will has a really good game offensively. We've seen sometimes when those guys do well, they perhaps get a little bit too confident and take a few shots when they shouldn't. Is that something that at all we should be worried about carrying into the next game?
I'm not worried about it, because if you look at what James Madison was doing defensively, they were leaving those guys. They were sagging off to help on everybody else. They weren't going to let Jordan Holtz get a good look. They weren't going to let – they tried to stop Christian Wofford on the, you know, trailing threes or on the reversals. They really were doubling down on Cody Zeller. That's why, you know, Cody had the luxury in this game of distributing and passing it out of the double team as opposed to forcing up shots. And that's why he was 4 or 5 from the field, because they were doubling every time he got the ball. So I thought that the focus was really to shut down the other 4 guys and to – leave Yogi, make Yogi hit shots, put Yogi in one-on-one situations where he could drive by a guy. And then when Sheehy came in, they were letting him shoot jumpers. And, well, that can be a good strategy some nights. And he was, you know, 1 of 4 from 3 and still made some bad decisions with those. But when he was scrapping and playing around the hoop, I'm fine with that. I mean, that's the Will Sheehy I like to see. So I don't think it's a concern, because those guys got the ball a lot, just because that's what James Madison was doing defensively. Now, in a game that's closer, you're going to be forcing it to guys like Cody, and you're going to be making Victor go one-on-one. You're going to be seeing Christian Wofford down the block more, things like that. So I think that was just – those were just sort of things that were specific to this game and the way that James Madison was attacking IU defensively. And also a lot of those shots came in the second half when, you know, IU was – you know, just getting open looks and taking them. They were missing some, but, you know, it was kind of just, at that point, it was just kind of a, you know, the game was over and they were just kind of playing it out. So I wasn't too concerned about that. You know, if this comes, you know, against Syracuse or something like that, yeah, that could be a problem. But I really think a lot of that was just the impact of what the defense was doing and how this game kind of played out individually.
Yeah, and I agree with you. All right, and we do have Andy calling in. So let's bring Andy on here real quick. And Andy, welcome to the Assembly Call. Let's see your bottoms line on today's game. You were there, right?
I was there. I'm trying to get out of the parking lot now. It's a little bit of a mess. I'm not sure what they were thinking when they scheduled the next set of games to start about an hour after this one's over. So they're trying to clear out the stadium and the parking lot and everything else. So it's going well. No, I mean, I just thought it was a game where they came out and took control early. I was really impressed with Yogi early on, and the fact that he really did a good job of taking what the defense was giving. And we were behind the basket IU was going toward in the first half. And, I mean, the lane just opened up, and I thought he did a really good job of getting in there. I think, you know, in the first half of the game defensively, there was good intensity and all those kinds of things. So it was, you know, good performance, one that, you know, didn't ever let doubt creep in the same way that you saw yesterday with, you know, Gonzaga against Southern. I thought IU really did a good job of taking him out of the game early and taking advantage of a lot of mismatches on the floor.
So let me ask you this, Andy. I don't know how long we have you on with us today, but obviously, you know, Indiana's next opponent in the round of 32 is going to be Temple. I wasn't able to see any of the first game. Are you able to watch that first game between Temple and NC State? And just in general, what are your impressions of that matchup for Indiana?
Yeah, we got there right after it tipped off, so we really watched most of the game. You know, Temple is an interesting team. They got a really good scorer in Khalif Wyatt, who takes some really crazy shots at times, but he's definitely not afraid to shoot it. They're certainly going to try to really slow it down. But they're also a team that I think you can bait a little bit more into playing the pace that IU wants to. They were up probably 17, I want to say, 1.15, 17. And NC State really got back in the game by getting some looks out in transition and Temple taking some bad shots. So I definitely think it's, you know, their game plan is going to be to really slow it down, put the ball in, you know, Khalif Wyatt's hands with the shot clock running down and let him try to create things. But I do think, you know, more so than some of the teams that have given IU trouble and have really been able to control the tempo, like a Wisconsin or a Butler or something like that, I think you can, like I said, bait them into playing the pace. So I don't think it's not a terrible matchup. They don't have a ton of size inside. They got a couple bigger guys, but nobody, nobody, I think, over 6'8", 6'9", and even that, not a lot of guys. So, they're not terribly good defensively, although neither team in that first game played a great deal of defense. So I think it's in some ways a little bit better matchup for IU in terms of just sheer athletes that they're playing. I think it's a little worse in the sense that NC State would absolutely play up and down the way that IU would want to, and Temple will at least attempt to slow it down. So I think a fairly favorable matchup for IU and one that I would think they would win. I think Temple really kind of hung on today more than, they were almost trying to run the clock pretty early on, and they benefited from a few favorable calls down the stretch, too.
So any other individual performances today from Hoosiers that really stood out to you being there in the gym?
I thought really they got a lot of good things out of the bench. I know I heard you guys talking about Sheehy a little bit. I did get to, you know, witness firsthand a few questionable three-point shots. So I thought of Ryan when those went up. But, I think all in all, you know, people who came in were able to contribute. Hollowell had the one turnover, but he did a nice job on the glass. Remy Abel seems to have regained his confidence from a shooting perspective. And I think that's obviously nothing but a good thing for them. I thought Elston gave him some good minutes in the first half, but he'd been hobbled a little bit. So I thought they got good contributions there. You really get a good flavor for exactly how long the timeouts and how long halftime is in these tournament games from being there. And so I think, you know, that means you don't need to play your bench quite as much, but I thought it was good for those guys to get in, get some experience, get some confidence. I thought really everybody who came in played relatively well. So those guys definitely stood out. I thought it was just a pretty even and well-balanced performance from everybody. I think the scoring ended up being very balanced with the, you know, starters plus Sheehy all right around the same mark. So I thought that just a really good all around performance for the team today. So I probably will I'll probably hang up and try to get out of town here, and I'll let you know whether I'm going to be here on Sunday or not. It depends almost exclusively on the game time. So the later the game is, the more likely it is that I'll go again. So we'll see.
Okay. Sounds good, man. We'll drive safely. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
All right. Take it easy.
All right. See you, man. All right, so Ryan, let's talk about some of the seniors now. You know, we talked about Yogi, who was great. You know, I thought Victor and Cody just kind of, they did what they needed to do, today. They weren't spectacular. I mean, they had a few spectacular moments, but they didn't need to be All-Americans, like we mentioned earlier. I thought two guys whose performances were interesting were Jordan Hollis and Christian Walker. Christian, after really, really doing well for the first 12-13 Big Ten games, you know, kind of went back to being a little bit more up and down there, both in terms of his shot-making and just his aggressiveness and kind of how engaged he seemed in the game. I mean, Jordan has struggled a little bit with his shot. You know, some of those three-pointers that, you know, that we feel are layups, you know, he's been missing a few more of those. And I thought today, you know, it was nice to see from the two of them. I mean, Christian only had 9 points, but I thought he was really active defensively early. Like, it was more like – he really looked like he was playing hard on defense. You know, sometimes he can look a little lackadaisical out there, but I mean today he really looked into it, and I thought he didn't force any shots. All of his shots were three pointers. He was 2 for 4. You know, he was really looking for that trailing three, knocked down the one. And I thought it was encouraging from these two guys. It may not jump out of the box score when you look at it, but just how they played. I thought Jordan looked more confident, you know, and he was able to stroke a few, which was nice to see. And the same thing for Christian. Do you agree?
Yeah, the key for Christian and Jordy today was, yeah, they hit shots, but one, they didn't force anything, and two, they moved the ball. You didn't see a whole lot of standing around. You saw them catch the ball, move it along if they didn't have a shot, instead of catch it, look, okay, now I'll look for somebody else. And sometimes that hesitation can allow the defense to recover. And so you saw both of them really moving the ball well. Christian in particular was cutting through the lane very well, especially in the first half, and that opened things up. When he cuts through the lane, you know, if Cody will be in that short corner on the baseline and Watford cuts through, that's going to open up lanes for everybody else on the perimeter. Even if he gets the ball, he can kick it out, or, you know, they can reverse it past him back where he was and there's an opening. So I think that just his movement in general was very solid. Like you said, he played well defensively. You know, he grabbed 5 rebounds, had a steal and a block too. But he also just didn't force anything. And you know, his only official field goals were 3-pointers, but he also got to the line a few times, and that was by being aggressive and working down at the block. So I really think against Temple you're going to see him in the paint a little more than he was today. I think today they just were, you know, they just had their opponents so outmatched that they tried to spread things out and open driving lanes. And so that you know, they would pull him out of being anywhere in the paint or down low. So I thought that, I thought he played well. And then Jordan, I agree. I mean, people were saying all week that he was just shooting as much as he could all week. And was just firing off a ton of shots after practice. And, you know, it was nice to see him step into a few. He still had a couple misses, but, you know, he's a shooter. He's going to miss. He's going to make. You know, you just have to have that. The key is the confidence factor. And he definitely looked confident, and he moved the ball around and made things happen. So I think that was more of the Jordan Holes we've expected. Even if he misses shots, it's about the entire way he plays. And he looked much more confident and better today. So that's definitely a positive moving forward.
So at the end of last season, I remember being extremely confident anytime Remy Abel would come in because he was always productive. You know, he didn't force shots. He made a high percentage of the ones that he took. He played really good defense. And then it really looked like he was taking the next step at the beginning of this year. I mean, he was really playing well during the non-conference schedule. And then he just totally tailed off. You know, as we mentioned on many shows, I mean, he just, you know, it wasn't that he started missing shots. It was just how he looked. He looked like he completely lost confidence. And now, once again, over the past, you know, kind of 5-6 games, like he did last year when he emerged late, he's coming back on, and he's shooting it confidently. He's making them. He's playing good defense. He, you know, there was a time there in midseason where it looked like when he got the ball, he didn't really have a purpose with it. He didn't know what he was going to do. And now, you know, he's getting the ball. He's got a purpose. He looks like a different player. I'm happy that he's back to being the Remy Abel that we were seeing at the beginning of the year, at the end of last year. Have you kind of regained your confidence in him? And what are we to make of kind of this up-and-down nature of Remy that we're seeing?
Well, here's the thing about Remy is that no matter what, he's going to play good defense. So at least he gives you something. I mean, that's the main thing with him is that he's very good, very athletic defensively, and he's a smart defender too. And he's going to guard aggressively without fouling for the most part. So when he's out there, at the very least, even if he's doing nothing offensively, you know that he's going to give you a full effort on the other half of the floor. Now, offensively, I think what happened was everybody was wrapped up in the fact that he kept having perfect shooting nights or near-perfect shooting nights early in the season, and they kept bringing it up to him in interviews, and people were talking about it and discussing and tweeting and all this. And then, you know, obviously that's not going to last forever. A guy shooting 80%, that's not going to last forever. Unfortunately, the world is not that fun. So I think that what happened was he started missing, and it started to become a thing. You know, he started thinking about it too much and probably working on it too much, and it got into his head. And you could tell he started to hesitate when he'd shoot. And, you know, if you're shooting perfect and then you have an 0-for-5 game, that happens. But when you're a sophomore, maybe you don't think that, or you don't realize that just happens sometimes. So I think that he really got down on himself offensively and questioned himself offensively. And I think that that, you know, leaked into his game. I don't think it ever really affected his defense. I think he's played phenomenal defense all year. But, again, a team, when we were playing night in and night out, such great opponents, you need guys who can do it on both ends of the floor. And so I think that his playing time diminished as a result. But that doesn't mean he was playing necessarily poorly. He was just making, you know, questionable decisions with the ball and all that. So now it looks like he has his confidence back and is at least willing to fire. And I think that he's one of those guys that it was really nice to have a game like tonight, as I termed it in our last I borrowed from Mark Grace in our last call, and I said they needed a slump buster, and some of these guys needed it, like Jordan and even Remy. And Remy looked great tonight, and maybe that's the kind of thing that will carry him offensively with some confidence heading into the next game.
Yeah, I mean, I think of all the number one seeds, we really needed this game more than any, because obviously we were coming into it off a loss, you know, really had struggled there. I mean, we were 3-3 and you know, beat Michigan on the road, which was a big accomplishment, but we knew just from the eye test watching this team that it wasn't the same team we had seen that went into the Breslin Center and won. And yeah, I mean, I think watching this game, we saw exactly what we wanted to see, which is this team get its swagger back, get up, run up and down the floor. You know, and that's part of just, you know, not having, like Tom Crean or like Tom Izzo said, you know, not having to play against another Big Ten team where you're just beating each other up, every, you know, every single game. And just getting out there and I think remembering what we do so well, you know, and kind of getting into that offensive flow. And I think you're right. I mean, I think it's a great game for a guy like Remy. I think it's good, you know, for a guy like Jordan's confidence and just the entire team, you know, to be able to have a game like this. And can we also just – let's take a moment and appreciate a very exciting moment in the second half that happened that if you're not obviously a diehard Indiana fan, you can't really appreciate. But Maurice Creek got to play an NCAA tournament game today. How exciting is that, huh?
Yeah, I mean, that was, you know, I tweeted out about that. That was really just a great thing to see. And it actually made me a little sad because I remembered last year that Verdell didn't get to play in one because he hurt his knee in the Big Ten tournament. And so that kind of made me sad. But at the same time, you know, so happy for Mo. He's worked so hard and, you know, absolutely deserves the chance to play. And he went out there, got a couple shots up, and hopefully, you know, that's not the last game he's going to see minutes in. I also was excited to see, you know, Connor Perret get off the bench, score some points, grab a couple offensive rebounds. It was nice to see him just out there being active, just kind of playing. And I think that, you know, there's a very good chance that a guy like Jeremy Hollowell or Hunter or Maurice Creek will end up being important in this tournament run. You know, if somebody gets in foul trouble or, you know, something happens, you know, so it's nice to see those guys get out there and play like they belong in the NCAA tournament, you know, and just, and look, you know, comfortable and not force anything and just kind of go. And I thought Jeremy Hollowell, as Andy mentioned, I thought he looked great on rebounding the ball. He didn't force anything offensively. We saw him do that earlier in the year a little bit sometimes. So, yeah, I think he looked comfortable. He looked like he was just playing another game, and that's good. And it was nice to see Elston get out there and bang a little bit because he's going to be a guy that's going to give Cody breathers, you know, as this tournament goes on. So it's nice that he can go out there, throw his weight around, pick up two personal fouls and head back to the bench and, you know, just do what he does while he's in there.
Exactly. Well, before we kind of wrap things up and go to our final thoughts about the Hoosiers, any general thoughts on the tournament so far, how it's played out, how the Big Ten has fared?
You know, Wisconsin today, I felt so bad for those kids because some days it just doesn't go right for you. And, you know, shooting 26% from the field in your first tournament game and bowing out like that is just, I mean, that's got to kill those guys, especially some of the seniors, you know, because sometimes you just don't have it. And yeah, to not have it in the opening round of your final tournament is just tough. And those kids have all played hard. They played very well. And it was just kind of sad to see them come out and just lay such an egg like that because it wasn't an effort thing. It was just, they just couldn't hit anything. And then it became, you know, symptomatic and everybody was doing it. So, you know, it was sad to see that, you know, not that I have a problem with it, because that seems to be the one team that IU cannot solve. So I'm all right with it. But, you know, it just felt bad for those guys because, you know, there was just nothing they could do. They could not hit water if they fell out of a boat today.
And then, you know, one other kind of interesting tournament note that will be of some interest to the Indiana listeners. Obviously, last night, by the biggest upset of the tournament so far, was Harvard beating New Mexico. And, of course, only in the NCAA tournament could a group of kids from Harvard outperforming a group of kids from New Mexico be considered an upset, but that's the context that we're in. So we'll roll with it. But an interesting stat from Josh Tinley of Midwest Sports Fans today that basically in the history of the NCAA tournament, since they've done seedings like they have them now, three seeds have won, I think, 88%. Three seeds that haven't had Steve Alford on the team have won 88% of the time. Three seeds with Steve Alford have won 33% of the time. Once as a player at Indiana, of course, the famous loss to Cleveland State. And then, you know, during his time as a coach, he's 1-2 as a three seed. Any thoughts on poor Steve Alford's misadventures as a three seed?
You know, I know Indiana fans do love their Steve Alford, and I think he was a phenomenal player. There's no question about that. He's one of the greatest Hoosiers of all time. But I have never been sold on him as a coach. I've never been a huge fan. You know, his time at Iowa was, I thought, a disaster for the most part. I thought his handling of the Pierre situation, where he let a guy who had essentially admitted to sexual assault continue to stay on the team, was an embarrassment to everybody involved. But, you know, I don't root necessarily against him. I've never been completely sold on him as a coach. And, you know, his name always comes up whenever Indiana's coaches are performing, you know, poorly or are underperforming or whatever. And I've just always told people, just don't fall in love with Steve Alford because he used to play for you. You know, Indiana can do better. And I think Indiana is doing better now. But I did feel bad for him a little bit. I told anybody who would listen, I thought that New Mexico was completely overrated and hadn't played anybody. And I don't trust Steve Alford coach teams in the tournament for good reason. But, you know, I knew people were putting them into the final. I know Hoosier fans were putting them into the Final Four and things like that. I'm like, guys, just because Steve Alford's the coach doesn't mean you got to do that. You know, you didn't do that with Bowling Green when Dan Dockich was there. It's kind of sad that's the way that season ended for those guys. But I didn't see it coming at some point. Maybe not to Harvard, but I kind of saw that coming. I thought they were way overseeded.
Yeah. All right, well, any final thoughts as we wrap up tonight's show and get ready for Sunday? We don't know the time of the game yet. I'm sure that'll probably be posted. Usually that's just posted later tonight. I would think, I mean, it's Indiana. Typically Indiana games end up getting pushed to prime time. This one, you know, didn't, I'm sure, because it's a 1 versus a 16. But I would imagine Indiana would play either sometime in the afternoon or the early evening on Sunday.
I'd assume late afternoon, yeah. But today, I mean, just Indiana did what they had to do. And you know, the team did what it had to do and played very well at a very high level. You saw some guys really, you know, step up. And again, the development of Yogi, he's played much better, you know, in stretches this year than he did at the beginning of the year. And just today he was confident. You know, he did not look like a freshman in his first tournament game. He looked like a guy who belongs. And he's looked like that all year. I mean, he really looked like he belongs on the floor. But the confidence was just at a whole other level today, and that is a huge positive for IU, not only for this tournament run. I mean, I know we're all focused on this tournament run, but, you know, next year he's going to be maybe the key factor in the offense. And the fact that he's finishing at the rim, he's hitting his shots, he's making defenses, you know, play him tightly on a veteran team is really important for IU basketball, you know, this over the next couple weeks. And, well, hopefully the next couple of weeks and, you know, next season. It's a great development. And, you know, seeing him play an all-court game offensively, defensively, shooting, passing, finishing, and defending is really important. And it was a really positive development today.
Yeah, you know, now that you mention it, I mean, you can kind of look at this game as almost a glimpse into the future. I mean, next year, Yogi and Will Sheehy are going to be, you know, the top two returning guys. I mean, obviously there's the recruiting class coming in. You're going to have guys like Remy Abel, you know, Hunter Perret and Jeremy Hollowell, but Yogi and Will are going to be the leaders. And today, you know, they came out and really played well. You know, I mean, shoot, Yogi, there have been some great performances by number 11s, obviously, in Indiana's tournament history, and certainly Yogi's going to need to do it in later tournament games against better competition to even start being mentioned in the same breath with the other number 11. But in your first tournament game, 16 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists, you know, it doesn't really matter who you're playing against, just to do it in that environment. And to do it with the confidence and the control that he had, that's to me what was so impressive about Yogi early on, is nothing was forced. He took what the defense gave him and just confidently knocked down shots, drove to the lane, did everything, and then went back on the other end and played great defense. It was great to
yeah.
see. You know, and he was the key. And that to me is why, you know, as I look at this and when I'm filling out my bracket, why to me it was a no-brainer to pick Indiana to win. And that's why after watching a game like today, you know, we talked yesterday, you know, or not yesterday, but in our last show, you know, if our confidence level was at had been at a 10 after the Michigan State game, where was it coming into the tournament? You know, kind of a 7, you know, because Indiana had been a little bit uneven. And, yeah, the competition is not great today, but what today does is it reminds you why Indiana is so good, because there's so many different ways Indiana can beat you. You know, and today you have your two All-Americans who really kind of play supporting roles while other guys step up and lead you to a big victory. And that's what makes Indiana so dangerous. Because against Temple, you know, that could be the game where Cody goes off and scores 20, 25 points. Or maybe Victor decides to have one of his vintage Victor games, or Watford goes off. You know, today it was Yogi and Will, and then taking, you know, like you mentioned, Ryan, taking what the defense gave them. And that's what makes Indiana so dangerous. And so I think as we move forward in the tournament, I think we'll see more of this. You know, different guys stepping up and kind of taking the reins. And the deeper, of course, that we get into the tournament, I think the more and more it's going to have to be Victor and Cody. But the nice thing is, you know, I don't remember, maybe it was last night or the night before, I don't know, Rex Chapman said something about, you know, his question about Indiana is, you know, they haven't played very well on the road. Well, he clearly hasn't watched Indiana, because the things that Indiana did really well this year was play on the road and come to play against big competition and big games. And so that's why, you know, the further and further we get into this tournament, you know, I'm going to start getting more confident, because these are the games that Indiana has performed the best in, you know, when the most is expected out of them. And so, you know, that to me is what's going to be exciting as we continue to make this run. And obviously you don't take any opponent lightly, and this matchup in the round of 32 against Temple is going to be a tough one. But I have a lot of confidence in this Hoosier team, you know, especially after seeing them kind of get that swagger back a little bit today. They just have too many weapons, you know.
Yeah, and I think one key today that you saw that was a lot that Indiana really did early on, even in the Big Ten season early on, was they weren't overthinking. They were just going, you know, and Yogi especially, he saw a lane and didn't think, oh, I've got to finish running this play. He just took what the defense gave him and went. And that's key. I mean, especially in the tournament, at this point, you should not have to think about what you're doing. It's got to be a quick reaction, because you got to take whatever you can get. And I thought that was really important today. They just went. And, you know, Cody would get the ball, and instead of being like, okay, I'm getting double teamed, I might need to force this, you know, he just went and gave the ball up and moved it and then reposted, got into position, did what he had to do. And so I think that stuff like that is really going to be key moving on, you know, and a lot of people have kind of, I mean, not to look past anything, because, you know, you never know, and you still got to be Temple, but a lot of people have talked about facing Syracuse, how that might be if things work out, that might be a tough matchup for IU because of the zone. Well, it's only a tough matchup if you overcomplicate it. And, you know, so seeing IU just kind of get out and play today was really encouraging, and not worrying about anything, just doing what they do was what was so encouraging about the win.
Yep, and hopefully it's something we continue to see, because you're right. I think that was one of the problems with Indiana's offense, and, you know, I mean, to a certain extent, you know, some of their opponents in the Big Ten really dictated and made them do it in the half court, which is kind of slow down and think more. This team, not that they can't play a game like that, but we know they're so much better when they can get out and run and just be instinctive and, you know, just, you know, see Christian Watford trailing, bam, get it to him shot without even thinking about it, you know. Victor Oladipo sees an opening, bam, he's at the basket before you can blink, you know. And that's what makes the only person who needs to overthink a little bit is Will Sheehy. I think we both agree. He should
yeah.
think maybe a little bit more, you know, about his shot selection. Everybody else needs to just play off their instinct, and I think Indiana will be fine.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely agree there.
Yes, we do. All right, well, a good solid day for the Hoosiers. They win by 21, 83-62. They'll play Sunday against Temple. Time to be announced. We'll tweet it out when we see it. Not sure if Andy is going to have a preview. Our buddy Darth Hoosier on Twitter, follow him. He'll have something up there, I'm sure, breaking down this game and then breaking down the next opponent. He's been providing some really good content on assembly calls, so make sure you follow him and read his stuff. And otherwise, Ryan, thanks for coming on today. Fun game for the Hoosiers, and we will talk Sunday after what is hopefully another IU victory. When that's it, everybody enjoy your Friday night. Enjoy your Saturday of watching basketball, and we'll talk to you on Sunday.